so good to be with you this morning. I haven't put a title on our lesson for today, an encouraging word. I just felt all week that the Lord just wanted me to encourage the church today. He wants to encourage us today as we meet together. It's been a tough spring. And I was really, it's kind of cool what the songs that the Lord gave Jamie for today, because they just kind of went right along with encouragement. He's been encouraging us since we started this morning, and so I thank him for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you want to encourage us this morning, that you want us to understand how much you love us, Father, that you provide for us, you care for us, and even through the tough times, you are there to carry us along. So I thank you, Father, for that we don't have to wonder about it, but that we can trust you to take care of us, to help us through the tough spots, and Lord, just to share life together, encourage one another, even as the word says. So, Father, as we come today, I ask that you'll give me the words to speak. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." I love the way that you do encourage one another, that you share life with one another, and it's awesome to see. And we're going to begin today in Romans chapter 15 and see what the Word of God says about encouragement. And just sharing life together. Romans 15, beginning at verse 1, we're going to go down through 15. Nope, 13, down through 13, I'm sorry. "So we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." So we get a lot of our encouragement from the Word of God. He encourages us through Scripture as we read it daily, as we come together on Sunday mornings. He encourages us through Scripture. And that's what this last verse there that I read talks about, is encouragement of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name.'" And that particular scripture comes out of 2 Samuel 22:50 and Psalms 18:49. Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And that's from Deuteronomy 32:43. And again, verse 11 says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." Psalms 117:1. Again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. And that is Isaiah 11:10. And then verse 13 says, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see in these verses, in verse 2, we're to please our neighbor. We had this lesson in youth Sunday school this morning. We're not here just to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor as well. It's that we talked about the commandment to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's about a love relationship with all of those that we're around. And that's why we encourage one another. Verse 7 says to accept one another. We're all a little different from one another. We're not all the same. We just need to learn to accept one another and love one another the way they are. Don't try to make everyone like you are. I learned a long time ago that we wouldn't want a whole house full of lesses because it would get pretty boring. It's a good thing we're all different. It's a good thing we're all made in God's image, but we're all a little bit different. We have different joys and sorrows. We have different things that we like to do. And that's why I always encourage young people coming out of school to find a job that you love, because then you don't have to go to work. You can go to something you love every day, something you really enjoy. And thank the Lord that He gave me a job that I love to do. And then in the verses 9 through 11, it talks about then as we encourage one another, as we share life with one another, we're to give glory to God. We're to praise Him for the way that He has made us. Praise Him for all of His care and protection over us. But all these last verses in 9 through 11 talk about praising the Lord and giving glory to Him. And then it says in verse 13 that God will fill us with joy and peace as we trust in Him, and that we'll overflow with hope. So as I was looking for an example of a time when someone in the Word of God encouraged, and I was led back to Abram. I thought of Abram and Lot when they began to came to a place where they were getting too many herds, that they couldn't stay in one place together because they were getting too big. Let's go back to Genesis 13. And I was just marvel at the way Abram decided to take care of the problem. We're going to read in Genesis 13, verses 1 through 18. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. So as Abram was going from place to place, he began to recall on the name of the Lord. He talked to the Father. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. Quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites, Perizzites, and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right." If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. He said, it doesn't matter to me which way I go. It's just when it's time that we separate, you pick where you would like to go. And Abram could have just as easily taken the best way, the best way. He could have chosen what he wanted and chosen the best land. But it says, Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And you know, you all know the rest of the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, but I thought this was really cool the way Lot decided to move apart. He gave him a choice. He wasn't selfish to take the best part, but he was encouraging to Lot, telling him to just pick whatever he wanted to do and to go to that part of the country. So they parted ways, and they got along, and we weren't arguing about it, but they were able to do it in a good, loving manner. Now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, I want to begin in verse 19, or verse 19, chapter 10. And in my NIV, it says it's titled A Call to Persevere, to stick with it. And therefore, brothers, in verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, since you have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So verse 23 telling us to just hold on without giving up. Don't worry about what's to come, but hold on and keep your hope, the hope that we profess for the promises that he has given us. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Yeah, I wanted to go down through. I already did that. Okay. Excuse me. So, in 19 through 25, it's a call to persevere. And then down in verse 24, it talks about spurring one another on, about encouraging one another, learning to lift each other up and help one another. And now I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 12, just a page over, and look at verses 1 through 14 of Hebrews 12. And this is talking about God's discipline, how he disciplines his children. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. That is taken out of Proverbs 3:11-12. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, as I was growing up, I had a father who did discipline. And I do remember it was painful. There was just some times when I needed a good spanking, and I got one when I needed it. As I told you many times, I suppose, us boys, what one didn't think of, the other one did, and we got into some things we shouldn't now and then, and so Dad would take care of it for us. And I did learn to respect my father. I've heard of fathers who were very mean to their children, and Dad was never that way. He did it lovingly. We always knew why we were getting a spanking. He explained things pretty thoroughly for us, and we learned from it. We didn't have to keep going back and making the same mistake over and over, because we learned what Dad expected of us. And he was teaching us from biblical standards, so we learned the Bible as we were learning discipline from our father. That's why it's so important that we are willing to take the Lord's discipline when he disciplines us to something that we're doing wrong, something that we're not walking the way we should. He disciplines and takes care of us. But he wanted to encourage us today to walk in his ways, to do what he wants, and to live at peace with all men, to be holy. Let's see, 1 to 14, 16. I must have the wrong scripture there. Let's finish up in 1 Thessalonians today. So I started in 1 Thessalonians with the verse that says, therefore, encourage one another And I want to end up at the, in 1 Thessalonians as well. There's just a couple verses there that I'd like to share before we close today. Verses 23 and 24. First Thessalonians 5:23-24. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. God is faithful. His promises are the same all the time. He doesn't change. And He will take care of us no matter what we have to go through. So as we close today, there will come and have a final song. And if any of you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray with you. Jesse and I will be here. And just remember as you go this week to be an encouragement to one another. Encourage one another, lift each other up, pray for one another. And so, if you have a prayer need, just come and we'll pray with you this morning.